with us today. We're going to go ahead and get ready to get into God's word. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I believe our children are being dismissed today. So praise God, we'll do that. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here today. We thank you for your presence being in this place. As I said before, you never... I know that your presence is here for a reason, for a purpose. I sense your spirit here. We understand that you're everywhere. We know that you're the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is in this place today. And I believe that as a result of our worship unto you and a result of the word of God going forth this morning and afternoon, I believe that you will transform the lives of each and every individual that's in this place that has a desire for that transformation. I thank you for your word that it destroys yokes of bondage in people's lives. Lord, your word is true. Your word is right. And so we submit ourselves to your word today. We thank you for leading us and guiding us and directing us in the paths and the steps that we must take in order to continue to grow and develop in the things of you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Praise God. Well, kids, you are dismissed today for Children's Church. God bless you. Love you. Come on, let's get a hand as well. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for our kids. They are a blessing. Children are a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. So we thank God for our kids and thank God for what he's doing and what he's going to continue to do in their lives as they yield themselves to God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe that the next revival that we see, that we notably see, is going to be full of children that are heavily involved in kingdom business. I'm talking about signs and wonders taking place and miracles happening through the hands of children that are willing to be yielded, to yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm getting a couple amens on that, but I realize that God wants to use our children in a mighty way. And so, yes, and so we as believers, we as children of God, as adults, as grown folk, we need to nurture and encourage our children to continue to develop spiritually. This is not just for us, right? This is not just for grown folks. I fully expect for our young people to be able to walk in the anointing when they go to school. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we need to not allow MTV and BET and YouTube and all these other media raise our children and inject information in our children. We need to be sharing the good news with our young people every opportunity that we can. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. That's not my message today, but just off the top. That's the overflow today. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're actually at the end of a series that I've been teaching over the last couple weeks. I don't know if that's my phone or somebody's phone, somebody's device. We're going to turn that off, whatever that is. Amen. Praise God. All right. So we are in the middle of a series, and the name of the series is Anxious for Nothing. Anxious for Nothing. Can you say that with me? Anxious for Nothing. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. Right? And so we actually looked at a scripture in the Bible, in the New Testament, in Philippians. We actually looked at that and been meditating on that. We're going to do that again today. But before we get started, I want to share this again and just remind everybody that my approach today is an approach. I really want to take a holistic approach on this area when it comes to anxiety and people feeling pressure and things like that. I mean, I realize that it's a real issue in our world today, in our community today. And I'm not here to stand as an authority, as a psychiatrist or a clinician, if you will. My authority, the authorization that I've been given is through the Word of God. Amen? And I believe that there is a natural side and there's a spiritual side. And so please understand and realize that what I'm sharing to you today is going to be based from the Word of God, based on what the Word of God has to say. Amen? Because no matter what is going on, at the end of the day, there's a spiritual side connected to it. And God has something to say about it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're talking about anxiety. We're talking about personal struggle. And if you remember, we talked about the Apostle Paul and how he was actually going through some serious anxiety, if you will. If there was anybody that had a good reason to be going through something like that, it would have been Paul. Why? Because in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read it, he actually penned that by under the unction of the Holy Spirit while he was in prison. He was locked up. While he was chained up. Imagine this man of God who God has used and God has sent him on a mission, and he has a vision and has hopes and dreams and is excited about being able to go and preach in Rome, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rome. And what he ends up realizing is not a platform to preach in, but a jail cell to sit in. Imagine. Philippians 4, verse 4, he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always is a long time, man. Just rejoice in the Lord sometimes. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again. I mean, he came back at us again, like mom. He's like, "I'm going to say it again." Right? "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Excuse me. I got to thinking about that this week. And excuse me while I'm clearing my throat. I actually have been dealing with some cold symptoms this week. You say, "Man, Pastor Phil, what's that got to do with what you just got done talking about?" Well, while I was meditating on these scriptures, I didn't feel like rejoicing. I didn't feel like rejoicing in the Lord. I just felt like sleeping. I felt like doing something else other than rejoicing. But I remember the fact that Paul was in a very uncomfortable state, in a very uncomfortable situation when he wrote this. And he's saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And so I began to rejoice in the Lord in the middle of my symptoms. I'm just going to be personal here and talk about what I had to go through this week. Yeah, right. Always, yeah. He says, "Rejoice." Now that sounds good to, you know, that sounds good to go on a refrigerator, yeah. Right? That's a great scripture to put up on the refrigerator. That's a great scripture we can put on a greeting card or a coffee mug. You know, that's easy to quote that scripture to someone else. Thank you. But sometimes it can be hard to receive when we're upset, when we got a flat tire on 251 on the highway. Rejoice? What? I'm too busy to rejoice right now. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Are you serious? Always? Rejoice always? When you find out that your spouse has been lying to you, then still rejoice? When you're battling cancer, still rejoice. When your kid loses that scholarship, still rejoice, Paul? Yeah. When they're threatening you that you're going to lose your job, still rejoice? When you find out that your children are making very horrible decisions, still rejoice? Yes. Rejoice. Let's read again Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I hope you brought your Bibles today. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He wrote this. Now, let me ask you this question. How did Paul rejoice when he was locked up? How could he rejoice when he was locked up? How could he praise when his dream was to preach, but he goes to bed in prison? Like that was his mission. To preach to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel in Rome. And he ends up in prison. I tell you, it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. Today's title is The Perspective of Praise. The Perspective of Praise. See, perspective very simply means how you see something. How you and I see something. See, you can have one person see one thing, and that another person come and see that same thing, but they see something different. Perspective. Perspective. The same root word in Latin, the word for perceive, means to look through. To look through. To look at a situation differently. See, you could have a perspective filled with fear and anxiety, or you can have a perspective of praise. Same situation, but there can be a decision. There's a decision that you and I can make on what perspective we're going to take about that situation. And that's how Paul was able to rejoice in the middle of being in prison. Perspective. He had a perspective of praise. Let me kind of, this is a little different. I've never done this before. I'm going to read a scripture to you from what I call the BPT translation. Anybody ever heard of that? The BPT translation? Good. I'm glad you did. Because it's made up. That stands for the Bad Perspective Translation. All right, so we're going to look at this real quick. So this is the Bad Perspective Translation in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. If Paul had a bad perspective, what might have said this? To know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really stinks. That's not the word I really want to use, but right. God let me down. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. Because of the hell I've been through, I'm quitting real life groups and never going back to church. By the way, real life groups are going to be starting next month. Amen. Coming up next month. That's from the BPT translation, which I made up, and don't read that at home, right? No, what does the word actually say? What does the scripture actually say? Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the kingdom. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. I am in chains for Christ. See, instead of Paul having a perspective of pain, and instead of him thinking, oh, my dream is over, I'm stuck here in prison, I can't sleep, I can't breathe, I'm uncomfortable, I'm in pain. Instead of him taking that perspective, he took a perspective of praise. He realized even when he was getting arrested, and you know, he may have been tempted to think bad about the situation, but instead he saw it as an opportunity for the gospel to continue to spread round up. He realized that God, even in the midst of his turmoil, and even in the midst of torture, even in the midst in that situation, that God would never leave him, that God would never forsake him, that no weapon that was formed against him would prosper. And in all things, in all ways, rejoice. He realized that. Even while he was chained next to the Roman guard. He was next to influential leaders. Every 8 hours, he had an audience that was chained to him every day, and he was able to preach the gospel to them. Who's the prisoner now? You mean to tell me I got to be locked up next to this preacher and hear him preaching all day? Yeah. Yeah. Give me the key. Your turn. And so Paul is preaching and he's writing of the Holy Spirit. And God is giving him the words to say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, it wasn't the time. It was his first rodeo. It was his first time in prison. Acts 16, Paul and Silas going to the place of prayer. They were going to their real life group. And a gang fight broke out. A riot, the Bible says, or a riot in the city, in the town. Actually, in Acts 16, 22, let's read it real quick here. Acts 16, 22. The crowd joined attack against Paul and the magistrate ordered them to be struck and beaten with rods. Well, Paul had been through stuff already. He's been beaten for the gospel. Stripped and beaten. Now, I don't know if there's any of you that expect to be, God forbid, stripped and beaten today like Paul. Right? But there may come a time this week when you are stripped of your confidence, or someone tries to strip you of your peace, your joy, and you may feel beaten down by other people and other influences in your circle. Become discouraged and you start to hear doubts. Is this talking to anybody in here today? Doubts in your mind. Worries. The word of God is saying, in the middle of that, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. See, Paul and Silas were serving God, but and at the same time, they got, and because of that, they got severely flogged and thrown into prison. They never gave up. Even though their eyes, they were bloody, even though they had bruises, even though they had black eyes, even though they had broken noses and ribs, and had to sleep in a cold, hard prison, they still rejoiced. We're talking about perspective. Perspective. You're not there right now. I'm not there right now. You understand what I'm saying? So I need to put a perspective of praise on it. And even though I'm going through what I'm going through, even though you're going through what you're going through, God has never left you. Amen. He's never forsaken you. He's with you. He's going to help you get out of that situation. You may be wrongly accused, but God will straighten that. He will vindicate you. He will turn that situation around. You just let him do what he wants to do. You stand out of the way and you let him do the work in that situation. Understand, we have our part, right? We have our part. We need to be rejoicing. We need to be praying. We need to be continuing to seek God. But when it comes to things that we have no control over, we need to turn that over to the Lord. Amen? So yeah, in Acts 16 and 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. They were having worship service. In jail. And the other prisoners were listening to them. See, the guards made a big mistake. Because they should have split them up. They made a mistake there. They should have separated Paul and Silas. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. See, the enemy wants to isolate you for a reason. He wants to isolate you from the people of God. He wants to isolate you from people that care dearly about you, because if he can isolate you and separate you from those people, then he can do what he needs to do to try to discourage you and get you off of track, get you off of the vision that God has for you. So we must be aware of his devices. How do you solve that? Stay with the people of God. Surround yourself with people of God. Stay connected with the people of God. Make a decision to be a part of a life group next month. A real life group next month. Right? Yeah, I'm going to keep plugging. Right? Stay connected. We'll figure out, hey, I got to work. Well, okay, we'll figure out a way that we can make this work for you, right? We want to create opportunities where we can follow the word of God along these lines and stay connected with the brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis so that we can stay strong, so that we can stay encouraged. Amen? But they messed up with these guys. They should have separated them. But they seen an opportunity. They went on and had a worship service. See, some of y'all, the thing you did today, come to church. Around these crazy people who will actually pray for you. I'm including myself, right? Right. Amen. I don't care what they call me. Whatever. But make sure you call me. Amen. Hallelujah. So they're praising God in the middle of this jail cell. And I feel my help coming on. Because they're having this worship service. And in the middle of it, imagine this. In the middle of their worship service, the ground starts to shake. Earthquake starts to happen. And the doors start to open. And the chains come loose. Thank you, Jesus. Why does this matter to me so much? The reason why it matters to me is because when Paul wrote Philippians, he was in prison. God could have delivered him, but he didn't. And so he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Let me say, Pastor, I don't understand. We must praise him when he delivers us and praise him when he does not. That's what Paul did. Because no matter what they did to Paul, realized that no matter what they did to his body, no matter what they did to his flesh, he knew that he belonged to God. They could kill his body, but they could not kill his spirit. He knew that absent from the body would be present with the Lord. He's seen the opportunity and seen how he could be a witness even to the jailer and preach to the very one who had him shackled. Man, that's hard. It's hard to beat a man like that. let's look at this. Let's look at this again. Acts 16 and 25. I'm going to read it through here. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. If you can visualize this, that in midnight, in this prison, Paul says, "Hey, Si, you awake?" Yeah, I'm awake, Paul. Let's stand up, man. Let's begin to worship God. Let's have a worship service. Make the devil mad here, man. He think he got us. But we're going to have revival in the middle of this prison. See, the devil thinks he got everybody convinced that there is no God and that you know, there is, the church is over. He's got everybody thinking that there is no more revival that's coming to this land. He's got everybody thinking that those days have all passed. But he came too late to tell me. See, in our culture right now, in our society, there are people who have that mindset, and they think that the days of the church are old. They're over. And the devil, he thinks that there is no more revival coming. Well, I got news for him. Even in the midst of this time right now, I'm going to rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. And Paul and Silas, they are sitting there, and to everybody else, in front of everybody else, it looks like they're whooped. It looks like their days are over. It's just done with. Their ministry is over. And they begin to praise God, and they begin to worship God, and they begin to sing hymns. They're worshiping who God is. And then there becomes a violent earthquake in the middle of that prison. And every corner of that prison begins to shake. You can't ignore this. You can't ignore what's happening. And the prison door flies open. Chains, they come loose. See, for some of y'all, the key to unlock your miracle is your praise. It's the sound of your praise. And that might have to happen in the most peculiar place. It might be in the place you least expect it. It might be in a town square somewhere. It might be at the mall somewhere. I would say in prison, that would be kind of peculiar, having a worship service right there in prison. I got a feeling somebody going to praise him today. I got a feeling somebody going to praise him today. I got a feeling somebody's perspective is changing today. Somebody's situation is changing today. Somebody is raising, they're going to raise their hands today. Hallelujah. Even while they feel like they're in chains, they're going to raise their hands and watch them chains fall off. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I have a heart that's free to praise him. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to praise him if he breaks me out, and I'm going to praise him if he doesn't. Why? Because the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I'll praise him even when the world fights against me. I'll still praise him. I'll praise him while I'm waiting. Thank you, Lord. I'll praise him in prosperity, and I'll praise him in pain. I'll praise him when I'm sick, and I'll praise him when I'm healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not praising him for what, I'm praising him for who. See, I'm not praising him for the situation. I'm not praising him just for what he's done for me. I'm praising him for who he is. I'm praising Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Stand up on your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We praise the God that opens prison doors. We praise the God of the shackles. The God who causes blind eyes to be opened. Who causes the earth to open up and divide. The one who controls the wind and waves. They listen to his voice. The one who is almighty. We praise him. We praise you, God. We thank you for who you are. We put on attitude, the perspective of praise. And even in the midst of circumstance, even in the midst of trials, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Some of your greatest exploits and greatest miracles have been done because people praised you. Yes. in the darkest circumstance, they begin to praise you. They begin to worship. And you were able to deliver them. And not only that, but your presence, your name was able to be remembered all over. So Lord, we give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. We rejoice in the Lord on this day. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate life. We celebrate the fact that you gave your son to give his life for us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We give you praise, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, there was a song that the Spirit, and we were actually going to sing that song this in our worship. We'll probably do that next week, but I'm feeling led to actually sing it today, and y'all can just join in with me. But it's just every praise, yeah. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Every word of worship and one accord. Every praise. Every praise, every praise is to us.